Chapter 43. A week had passed since the completion of the toilet system repair job, and Charlie was back to the daily grind of prisoner life. Their ship did capture and board a smaller vessel, so at least he got to head out and see something other than the walls of his cell. Better yet, that particular action had been bloodless. Apparently, Captain Saruman wasn't as bloodthirsty as he led people to believe, though he'd kill you if you suggested it. However, Marbon had been activating his translator at mealtime somewhat regularly now, and during one of those conversations, had mentioned that a lot of the time the captain would essentially play chess with his prey. Once he positioned them for checkmate, he would offer them the opportunity to surrender without needlessly causing the deaths of their crew. Alive and captive was still better than free but dead, he argued. Quite often, that point was persuasive enough. So Charlie lugged pillaged supplies while the captain sorted through the crew, selecting those he would take, but leaving the weaker ones to go their way. After he had taken everything of value, that is. That evening as they ate, Charlie asked Marbon why he didn't take the ship as well.
Goods are easily moved, but stolen ships are really hard to sell in most systems. Plus, we would have to make landfall in this system to release the crew the captain didn't want to take on board.
So why not do that?
Because we survive by doing what we do and not drawing unnecessary attention to ourselves. In space, we are masters of our realm and able to simply jump to another system if a fight we don't want shows up at our doorstep.
But I've seen you guys in action. I can't see you backing down.
The scarred pirate laughed. Oh, believe me, there are some we have no desire to fight. Council ships, for example. We could take on several at a time, no doubt. But if we did, we'd have the rest on our tails so bad we'd have to flee to the most distant systems for any peace. Nope, we have a good thing, so the captain doesn't push his luck.
I suppose there's logic in that, Charlie replied. But what are council ships? A brief look of worry flashed across the pirate's face.
The Council of 20, the group of systems and their representative warlords, all powerful Vislas. Far more power-hungry than any regular men. They control the systems. They dictate the laws, collect taxes, guide and control both business and war. To run afoul of the council is to see your life expectancy shortened by a good margin, no matter who you are.
Fascinating. Marbon hastily jumped to his feet as the captain entered the galley. For a pirate, he seemed to have a thing for military protocols that made Charlie wonder what his prior history might actually be.
Captain, the men greeted in unison.
Marbon, Charlie, he replied. I see you've spent power on translation spells for our friend here, he noted.
I'm sorry, sir. I just thought it could be useful to understand how he managed such an unusual repair feat. I'll deactivate it at once.
No, that's fine. Leave it. I was actually coming to do the same myself. Plus one other thing, he said, pulling a small bandolier strap with a pair of pouches on it and dropping it on the table. Prisoners took note, especially the ones with the most seniority.
Marbon's eyes widened.
Already?
Our numbers have thinned in recent engagements. And besides, now that we no longer have to make planetfall to empty our waste system, I think Charlie's earned it, don't you?
I do, sir, Marbon agreed, a hint of a smile on the corners of his lips.
Then there it is. Congratulations, Charlie. You are no longer a mere laborer. You've earned yourself a higher position aboard my ship.
Charlie picked up the bandolier and studied it. Others had far more pouches on theirs, but he figured that likely came with experience and seniority. A small knife and a short sword were clunked down on the table as well.
You've been promoted to the lowest of the low among my men, but that's a world better than being a toilet-scrubbing prisoner, wouldn't you agree?
I'm sure it is, Captain, Charlie replied, still a bit unsure what had just happened.
Marbon will go over the fine points of your new position with you, but in my book, there is just one true rule. Fight or die. If you're caught hiding or running from the face of the enemy, I'll end you myself. Is that clear?
Yes, Captain.
Good. Marbon, you fill him in on the rest, he said, then walked out of the galley.
Once the captain had cleared the doorway, Charlie spun back to his unlikely friend.
What just happened, Marbon?
Well, little brother, you have just joined the illustrious ranks of the crew of the Rixana, he said, flashing him a jolly smile.
I'm a pirate now?
That you are.
Charlie picked up the short sword from the table. It was lighter than he expected, but seemed deadly enough. He looked over the weapon and noticed the fine rune work etched into the pommel.
Ah, you've already noticed the Galen, I see.
The what?
Galen. It's a specific spell worked into the material of the weapon itself. They're used to prevent a fallen man's gear from being captured and used against its own comrades. Here, I'll show you, the scarred man said. Try to strike me with your sword.
His hands were empty. Marbon had no means of defending himself.
No, that's okay, Charlie said. Oh, don't be a baby. Just take a little swing, the pirate urged.
Fine, he relented, half-heartedly attempting to swat the larger man with the flat edge of the sword. Marbon didn't move an inch, nor did he utter a word. But when the sword came within a few inches of his body, Charlie felt a blast of energy discharge into his arm, throwing him back several feet into the wall.
Oops, I didn't think this one was that strong, Marbon said as he helped Charlie to his feet. Sorry about that.
Fuck, you could have warned me.
Yes, but that isn't the point of the lesson.
Which was what? Don't hit your own team? I think I could have figured that one out without the shock, thank you very much.
No, it's much more than that, Charlie, he said. Look, I like you, so I don't want you to die our first time out if you suddenly decide to do something stupid, like run and fight your own comrades.
Must have been reading my mind, Charlie mused. He had, in fact, wondered if now with weapons and a bit more freedom, he might manage to effect an escape.
The thing is, we're just playing around, and the Galen recognizes your intent. If you had swung with the aim to kill me, you wouldn't be standing here right now.
Hang on. You're saying whatever I try to do to my own team, this thing will do to me instead?
Not quite like that. But if you were to try to harm one of us in any serious way, then yes, you would be struck dead.
Charlie dropped the sword to the table, rubbing a sore hand.
I'm not so sure I'm cut out for this.
None of us were our first day. Well, almost none of us. A few had other, experience that prepared us for this sort of life.
And what was your experience, Marbon? Who were you before all of this? The scarred man's smile faltered just an instant, but Charlie noted the brief look in the man's eye. There was a story there, all right, but tonight was not the night he would hear it.
Plenty of time for tales of adventure later, he finally answered. Anyway, rest up. The captain's been tracking a cargo transport and thinks we may be able to approach and disable them before they can jump away.
Jump away? That's an option?
If their drukes are well-trained and powerful enough, yes. It doesn't happen often, but we've lost our prey a few times when their drukes surprised us. Now the captain tried to hit them with a disrupting spell as soon as we make contact. It doesn't knock them out, but it plays merry havoc with their powers for a minute or two. More than enough time for our men to board, he said. You'll see. But now, rest. Tomorrow, the fun begins.